Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. John paints us a very vivid visual picture of that beautiful episode at the pool at Bethesda by Solomon's porch. He tells us, for example, in detail that there are five porticos, and we can visualize it very easily, the porticos round about the outside and the steps going down and the pool in the center. Indeed, this particular episode has been a favorite for those who like to meditate on a gospel by visualizing it, those following particularly the tradition of St. Ignatius of Loyola, who suggested that we might enter into a gospel episode, that we might use all five of our senses, that we might ask ourselves, what would I see were I there? What sounds would I hear? What music or words or murmur and hubbub of the crowd might I catch on my ears, and so on, really to build a sense of it. And it's often referred to, as indeed it is in our own order of service now, as the healing at the pool, or Jesus heals at the pool. But to me, I think the most significant thing about that story, as I picture it, is not that the healing takes place in the center at the pool, but that the healing happens quietly on the apparent margin in the portico. One of the manuscript traditions in St. John's Gospel, we have different early codexes of John, and some have slight amplifications, which are included in some translations and not others. You heard that phrase about the poor man who'd been left on his bed on the outside, on the margin, for these 38 years, saying to Jesus, "Sir, I have no one to take me down into the water when the water is troubled." And one of the manuscripts of John adds, as it were, in brackets, "For an angel came to trouble the waters, and when the angel stirred the waters, then the healing was there, and people would be lowered down." So actually, you can imagine there's really quite a kind of, almost a theatrical atmosphere, almost as though an amphitheater going down to a center, and people crowding down toward, down the steps towards the pool, when this quasi-magical thing would happen. Doubtless, the explainers away and reductive people would tell us that there was some kind of hot spring and that every so often you would get this little troubling of the waters. The people at that start understood that this to be an angel or a messenger of God turning the waters. We might actually want to say both, and we might say want to say that every movement of the mysterious thing we call matter is potentially a touch or a word or an angel of God. But certainly for the official religious establishment, for the expectations of those who'd come to the pool, everything was focused on that central place and on the moment when the waters might be stirred by the angel. But it so happened that there was one who was not just an angel of God, not just a messenger, but the Lord himself, the source of all messages, the source of all being and of all things, the fons et origo of everything, even that pool and the angels that might stir it, was stood not in the central place where he might have been expected, but on the margin. And this is so much the true touch of the gospel, the good news that was given to people who were accused of turning the world upside down. The message of the man who reversed expectations, who came not from the centers, the Jerusalems and Romeses and Athens, but from the little marginal village of Nazareth. The one who chose not the proud and the important, but the marginalized and the left behind. And this central and beautiful story happens not in the center where everybody is looking, but on the edges, in this quiet conversation in the portico rather than in the focus and theatre of the pool. And I believe that is Jesus's characteristic note still, his touch, that he comes to us when we least expect it, that he comes to us sometimes on the side or in the margin, that we catch him almost in our peripheral vision, and he speaks that quiet word to us which changes things. And suddenly, what was the margin becomes the centre for us. Not a public centre, but a deep centre, a quiet centre, an intimate centre, a centre in which we meet the centre of all things, the still centre around which the world turns, and in which it's possible for us to have a helpful and intimate exchange, to borrow Heaney's terms. Do you want to be healed? Sir, I have no one. That's not something you can say and shout in public. That's a deeper kind of loneliness even than being paralyzed on a bed. Sir, I have no one. And then this wonderful word of healing comes from the Lord. Now, I think that the purpose of our healing service this morning is not to recreate the theatre of the pool, but to enable the quiet conversation in the portico, to create a quiet space in which you can hear Jesus say, "What do you want?" And in which you can tell him what you need to tell him. When we come to Christ, we always come wherever we are, whether we're declared by the world to be centric or eccentric, we come always to the center, to the wellhead. To come to Christ is to come to the source, is to find in Heaney's words somebody with whom to be is intimate and helpful, like a cure you didn't notice happening. Amen.